gentlemen. For those who don't know, that audio clip is from the original Red Dawn. I believe it was released in 1984. Excellent, excellent movie. We have with my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest going on 38 years ago, give or take, to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Comics Conspiracy. He's authored 6 books available at Amazon.com. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog, where he writes 1, sometimes 2 excellent articles a week. And Jeff has done something very few human beings have done. He sat across the interview table from a number of high-level KGB defectors. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us. Jeff, the last hour, the topic came up of how and why the U.S. educational system has been absolutely changed and devastated. And you've seen this and were part of it firsthand, haven't you, sir?
Yes.
Well, tell us about your experience in California. Your experience in California doesn't necessarily translate to the other 49 states, but your life ambition was to become a history teacher. And tell us what happened in that course of your attempting to do that.
Well, my master teacher was a member of the Communist Party, apparently, or underground Communist Party. I got invited to a meeting. I wasn't told it was a communist meeting. I was told it was to improve education in the state of California. And it was at the Science Lecture Hall, I think it was 7 p.m., and I didn't have to work that night, so I went to the meeting, and it was a member of the Communist Party USA talking about taking over the Democratic Party through its left wing as a future program of the communist movement. He talked about overthrowing the dictatorship of the bourgeoisie, which is a term for overthrowing the Constitution in the U.S.,
right.
And having a Soviet state here in the U.S., that this stealth president would change the Constitution in the midst of an economic crisis, change the system.
What year was this, sir? What year?
1983, March.
Okay. All right. So we're looking at, 40 years ago, 41 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it wasn't the first time. I'd actually heard Derek Shearer in 1981 talk about similar things. He's a friend of Bill Clinton's, which was interesting. Derek Shearer was working for Jane Fonda's husband. What was his name? He was representative of Santa Monica.
Yeah, I know
who
you're talking about. Yeah,
But they had something called economic democracy. They were promoting Tom Hayden.
Tom Hayden, right.
Tom Hayden, who's passed away since, was a California legislator for many years. And of course, he wrote a book. I think the title of the book was Economic Democracy. And I was dragged there by 2 graduate students who said, "You're a political science major. You need to go to this." They were 2 friends of mine. And it was about how they needed this program of economic democracy. They would get to elect a stealth socialist president, and that they could change the system that way, which was almost identical to what I heard 2 years later.
Right.
And then my master teacher mentioned this young governor, Bill Clinton, who she said we have such high hopes in, you know, and of course he did become president a decade later.
Well, the communists make plans that go decades into the future, don't they, sir?
Well, they groom people. I mean, it's a movement. You know, right. Communism is a movement like Christianity in a way, in the sense that Christianity began with a few people who spread the gospel, right? And so communism is itself a kind of apocalyptic gospel of revolution that is spread by people who get other people to believe that there's this better world coming when this revolution happens. And we got to get, you know, organized for this revolution.
And these plans that began many decades, really began in 1917, and have worked their way all these decades, the past century plus. They're really oh so close to achieving their goal, aren't they?
Well, they're closer. I mean, you go back to Karl Marx, and the early Marx wrote about, it was cultural Marxism, about eliminating the family, eliminating the state, eliminating religion. You know, religion is the opiate of the people. And then when the revolution of 1848 happened, Engels and Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, which is much more famous. Later, Marx went on to making Das Kapital, his doctrine about overthrowing capitalism, specifically the economic system. A lot of people associate Marxism simply with an alternate economic system achieved through revolution, but that's not really the big picture. The big picture is much wider. Marx's nihilism was comprehensive. And so when the Bolshevik, and of course they had many plans, and these things were discussed. Engels wrote after Marx's death from Marx's notes, on the family, which was discussing how to destroy the nuclear family. All of the things that we've seen here in the last 5-6 decades since the 1960s, it was all integral to the original communist thinking. And of course, when the revolution happened in Russia in 1917, and the Bolsheviks took power, they had a state belonging to the largest country in the world to help give birth to this worldwide, to push it everywhere. And so then they developed, they had other problems to solve, the problems of having a state, the problems of having resistance from other states, and the problem of trying to corral all the socialists in the world to join their program. And so this is sort of the history of the Communist Party, as a world, actually a system of parties worldwide. And then, of course, you had the introduction of communism into China, which was then the most populous country. And then, of course, into Eastern Europe at the end of World War II. And then it spread from there. It continues to spread. And it's being taught in our schools. And it's one of the major things they did is they through John Dewey, they got into the John Dewey ran the National Education Association and in charge of a prestigious teachers' college at Columbia University. And that helped to spawn, he had the idea that, we needed to get children away from their parents,
right,
and socialize them differently than their parents intended. And of course, this is the inception of it. And of course, the people that I knew when I was in getting my teaching credential involved in the National Education Association, they were of this communist group. They were definitely working with the Communist Party USA. So it's and the Communist USA, by the way, from 1919 in its founding all the way to the 1980s and beyond, swore allegiance to Moscow. So it's got to be understood. These aren't independent things. These are interconnected things, part of larger movement directed by a foreign power.
Well, we said this before, but the head of the Communist Party USA, Gus Hall, ran for president every 4 years for quite a few cycles. But 20-something years ago, he decided to no longer do that because the Democratic Party was doing, their platform was basically a duplicate of the Communist platform, wasn't it?
Yeah, and of course, his running mate in some of those runs was Angela Davis, who, is flacking for Democrats now. She'll stand up there on a platform with Democratic congressmen, like the one from Minnesota that's from Somalia. What's her name?
Ilhan Omar.
Right. There's a video, you can find it online, of Ilhan Omar giving a speech, and there's Angela Davis up on the platform with her. So, just think about that for a minute, and think about some of these other, like the Squad, the Squatters, they're all comfortable with Angela Davis. Angela Davis used to vacation in the Soviet Union. know, Angela Davis is a Marxist-Leninist. So the idea that these people just gave up their belief system in, when the Soviet Union collapsed, and that the whole thing just went away, no, that was, there was a large deception in that, that enabled the people who could never rise in American politics during the Cold War to be able to rise unchecked. And this is part of the infiltration not only of the political system in the U.S., but in Europe as well, and in Latin America, where communists like Hugo Chavez and Lula da Silva came in, you know, disguised as social democrats, you know, claiming that they were, you know, they were left-of-center populists, not communists.
Right.
But in reality, had founded the, you know, the Sao Paulo Forum with Fidel Castro. I mean, that's not, Castro is not not just a socialist. He's a, well, all the communists refer to themselves in the world as socialists. And in Soviet literature, they don't speak of the communist bloc. They call it the socialist camp. It's important to understand this terminology. Socialism and communism originally in the time of Marx were interchangeable terms. Later, when Lenin came along, they developed a more specific language, claiming that socialism was a stage on the way to capitalism. I mean, on the way to communism from capitalism. But this technical language, it's just, you know, they used language so deceptively and with such fluidity that you have to be careful about taking it too seriously.
Absolutely you do. Absolutely do. You got a question or comment for Jeff? Just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, I look for regular updates on two things, the war in Ukraine and what Communist China is up to. First, going back to the war in Ukraine, what updates do you have, if any, for us, sir?
Well, the Russians continue to lose troops assaulting the Ukrainian front. The Ukrainians are hampered by not having enough artillery shells. There was recently analysis showing that one train from North Korea carrying artillery shells to Russia contained more artillery shells than all the artillery that NATO, artillery shells that more than all the artillery shells that NATO had delivered to Ukraine since the beginning of the war. Gives you an idea of the degree of support Russia's getting from North Korea. Russia also, we now know that Russia has built up its arms industry at an alarming pace. Some people in Europe are quite alarmed. Russia's ability to produce its own artillery shells and weapons, and of course, military experts looking at photographs of Russian equipment are seeing that deficiencies in Russian equipment are being rapidly fixed by really extensive overhauls of equipment that show quite a bit of enterprise on the part of the Russians. So the Russians are continuing to modify and adjust and improve their military machine. And the war seems to be an opportunity to do that. The Ukrainians are doing that too, but with much less resource since the West is. There's like $300 billion of frozen Russian assets that there's been. I'm not sure if it's finalized, but they want to be able to send that money to the Ukrainians. So this will be a fund for supporting Ukraine, which of course would be great relief if they could come up with the weapons then, which are in short supply. One of the problems that has emerged, and it's quite astonishing, and it's what the Finnish president was alluding to in his farewell address, is that the European countries, there's been a few, you know, in the U.S. we've expanded our artillery production, but and there's been some arms factories building in Europe, but it's nothing on the scale required. There's what they're finding is the Europeans, you know, they let their arms industry lapse. You know, Germany had 3,000 tanks during the Cold War, destroyed most of them, so that they only had, you know, 200 to 400 tanks left.
Really?
It was incredible that they did this destruction. As they were being destroyed, there were German technicians weeping over it, that it was just so sad and pointless. But now they're having a great deal of trouble because an arms industry is a very complicated thing. You need access to the raw materials. It's not just about funding. You need technical experts and engineers who can actually make the machine tools. In Western Europe, they're going to some of these old abandoned factories and finding, well, the machine tools weren't stored properly. There's too much rust or damage. And it's not a simple thing to reconstitute the massive arms industry that existed to support NATO. I mean, NATO is basically militarily hollow because it doesn't have, you know, the key to the arms is not the arms you have in hand. It is the logistical system to support it with spare parts, ammunition, and, you know, experts who can continue to build things and to innovate in the course of the war. So it's really very frightening what's happened. And the U.S., to a lesser extent, the U.S. has more capacity than Europe. But this is Europe is got 2.5 times the economic capacity of the United States. So it should be the arsenal to protect itself. But and the United States is not a land power. It's a naval power, basically. We only have 10 divisions in our army. And then there's the Marines. And, you know, you're talking about countries like Russia and China that have hundreds of divisions for land warfare. And the arms industries to back them up. And suddenly the West is finding it has this problem. And it takes years to bring industry up to the levels needed. And if you don't have the right engineers and technicians, maybe you can't do it at all. You know, you have to train people up. I mean, how long does it take to train somebody to get them interested to go to school, to train them in arms and engineering that relates to armament?
Well, for centuries, Krupp family, it's K-R-U-P-P, manufactured arms for Germany. They still exist. It's now merged with Tyson AG. And I don't know what they're doing or not doing, but they for centuries have been the producer of heavy military equipment, haven't they, sir?
Well, they were famous in World War I and World War II. But remember, there was all this propaganda when the Soviet Union fell about turning you know, our weapons into plowshares. And so, right. And the peace dividend and the rest. So suddenly you had this retooling and this refocus away from armaments in the West because they really believed Russia was turning over a new leaf. And while the Germans destroyed their tanks, the Russians put their tanks in storage behind the Urals and not as many as they claimed there was a conventional weapons treaty that that restricted the number of Russian weapons in European Russia, but that was never, because of the Chechen War, that was never really followed.
Jeff, we got a call on hold. We got a break. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the
cool
United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
There's a point. 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you need it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Yes, we are in the middle of the worst crime in human history, the consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. You want to study up on it? Educate yourself. There's more than 200 articles and videos at the COVID panel at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before we get to this first caller, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every video or article.
Okay, very simple and quick and easy. Our caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I'd like to know, is your interpretation, if any, of the timing of the attack by Hamas upon Israel? Why did it happen in October? And it seems to have, at least in the left, or in channels that have the leftist perspective, like Code Pink, Luna Oi, Danny Haiflong, Democracy Now in particular, virtually all of the attention in Democracy Now has turned away from, they're not giving any attention there to Ukraine, but they're giving it all on Israel and Hamas. Is this just something that happened by accident, or is there some kind of was there a deliberate coordination in order to create a distraction from what's going on with Russia and Ukraine?
Well, basically, the date of the attack was October 7th, which is Putin's birthday. So it was like a birthday present to Putin. And, of course, immediately it did. All of a sudden, you had Fox News commentators like Jesse Waters and Laura Ingraham saying that, we need to drop Ukraine and we need to defend Israel. That's our real ally. And then you had the stockpile from which we were giving artillery shells to Ukraine was one that was set up for a major war in the Middle East involving Israel that would have helped Israel. And so they froze the movement of shells from that stockpile. And so this cut off Ukraine. So there were immediate consequences aside from just the media attention shifting and Ukraine sort of being forgotten. And that provided cover for Joe Biden and certain Europeans to basically stop funding Ukraine last fall. Ukraine's in a position that right now at the end of January, if they don't come up with new money, Ukraine faces a dire situation where they can't, they may not be able to continue to function efficiently to defend themselves. And the cutoff of ammunition and other items has been severe. There was a small emergency package to Ukraine earlier this month from the U.S., but that was already money that had been set aside for Ukraine. The continued funding of it. I mean, the funding that the support, as I mentioned before, of Ukraine in the war of its allies, its supporters, like the countries in Europe, has been less in terms of the amount of material given than Russia has received from North Korea in terms of howitzer shells. So, which is astonishing. And Russia, to begin with, is just a much larger country than Ukraine. Three times, the industry and people and more than three times the territory. But yeah, the timing was it. I mean, Russia was losing the war pretty badly and unable to move forward. This attack by Hamas has enabled Russia to regain the initiative in the war.
Mm-hmm. All right. And have any details come out about how this was they were able to coordinate this, or was this something that Israel did to, created this and did this themselves? Is Hamas controlled opposition as a counterbalance to the Palestine Liberation Organization?
No, Hamas is not controlled opposition. Hamas is a radical terrorist group that's competing with the PLO for control of the Palestinian Authority. So it's a Palestinian organization, and it's supported by Iran and Russia and other entities. It's not. And the Israelis didn't do this to themselves. Now, this is, the Russians are involved in an alliance with communists and Islamists.
John, thank you for your call. We have a 5-minute break. We'll continue after the 5-minute break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. TOM at republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American-made, the Liberator Rocket Stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator Rocket Heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
Gentlemen, my website is thelibertyman.com. Over 9 gigabytes of information there that will educate you, inform you, make you happy, make you sad, make you angry. Really, all the human responses that a human being could have. And of course, Proxit will help you achieve your goals, whatever they might be. They might be, you might be looking for a relocation to an intentional Christian community near Harrison, Arkansas. That would be the Ark Haven Intentional Christian Community. Perhaps you want to have better energy and feel better. That would be the LifeWave products. I use them every day. And, of course, the Energy Cleaner. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, check it out. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner at thelibertyman.com. Filling with Jeff Nyquist is website jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, what direction would you like to go next, sir?
I don't know. I guess we just discussed.
How about this communist China and what they're up to? Any updates on that, sir?
I'm going to be interviewing Mr. Wang of Luda Media this coming weekend to get more updates on what's going on there. There has been talk about North Korea's preparations. North Korea has signaled that its number one enemy now is South Korea, and that it looks like there could be an attack on South Korea. At least they're making people think that's their intention. And of course, reignition of the war. Right now, there's just an armistice in the Korean War, basically, that's lasted for 70 years. Right. So what we have now is we have a very heavily armed North Korea. And maybe if the communists have made the calculation that our arms industries are too weak to support a war in more than one region, and there's something is about to happen in the Middle East and then Korea, and then maybe there's China tries to blockade Taiwan, it might be too much for the West military capabilities to handle. So that would be a possible thought that's going on in Beijing. The Chinese are, engaged in attempting to use again economic leverage to get their way with all these other countries. And although you hear about, you know, they have a big inroads in France, and they've got their inroads in Africa and in different Asian countries, Russia has been unplugged from the international financial system. And there are some things going on that is hurting China in this regard. Now, whether it's China preparing for war has scared people, or they've sabotaged themselves, I'm not sure. But what I'm hearing is that they have hurt their own economy so bad that China's economy is headed for collapse in the next year or so.
Really?
Yeah. And massive malinvestment. You see their real estate bubble bursting. Their banks are a house of cards. They don't maintain a proper fractal banking system. And so they're much more fragile financially. Plus, China is the most indebted country in the world. They have more debt than we do.
Really?
Yeah. And they, on top of the malinvestment and the way their economy has been managed, most of the companies of any size have secret party committees that manage the investment decisions of the companies according to the political needs of the Communist Party of China, what they want, what their long-range policies are. And that's no way to run a railroad, so to speak. You can't – look, business is about making money. If you don't make money, you go out of business, or you accrue huge financial losses. You have to be in business to make things that are profitable. The idea of, you know, Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum, which I regard as a communist front organization, he's got this thing called stakeholder capitalism. Well, if you study what that means, stakeholder capitalism is just simply socialism. It's basically looting businesses, because he's saying, oh, businesses shouldn't concentrate on profit. They should become involved in benefiting society socially. Well, that's what a socialist government forces industry to do.
Right.
Which gives you dilapidated industries and you have no investment for the future and the standard of living falls. So it's just every one of these socialist schemes is destructive of good economy. And this is what's happened in China. There's been massive Western investment in China. And now there's no enthusiasm for this investment anymore. If there's not, you have to have continual investment in an economy to make it prosperous. Well, guess where all the investment's going now? The number one place to invest money is here in the U.S., not in China. People have lost faith in China as a place to invest money.
Well, international capital follows two things, safety and interest rates, don't they?
Well, there's other things. There's other costs. Like, China was attractive because there wasn't as much environmental regulations, so factories weren't as expensive to put up. They had a cheaper labor force, but all that went away. China would, BMW put up a plant, and China suddenly hit them with a $2 billion bill for breaking Chinese laws, which they didn't even know existed. So the costs of doing business in China were a lot higher than anybody thought. They thought they were getting access to cheap labor. Well, cheap labor isn't the be all and end all,
right?
Because sometimes that labor isn't very good in its quality. And of course, the quality of Chinese goods is very low. They don't engineer things the way they do in Germany or the U.S. or Japan. So,
is it that they can't, or they choose not to make higher profit?
Well, no. Well, I give an example from personal experience. I bought it. The Italians make some of the best coffee makers in the world as far as getting flavor out of coffee, right?
Right, right.
They've got these coffee makers that one of the things, the flavonoids of coffee will escape into the air if exposed to open air. So this coffee maker was ingenious in preventing open air from reaching the coffee as it was made and poured into the carafe. The carafe was sealed. It was a beautiful machine. It was sold by Costco back, this is more than 10 years ago, 10, 15
right.
years ago.
Right. The
problem is that this coffee machine, no matter how many, and it was a $70, $80 unit, maybe it was closer to $100, and this made coffee. It would make your Folgers taste amazing. right? This is how good this coffee maker. Well, it was made. It was an Italian design, but it was made in China.
Right.
And it would break down and stop working after about 3-4 months.
Really?
Yeah.
How disappointing.
And I was very disappointed because it was the most amazing coffee maker, but it was made out of plastic. It was made in China, but it wasn't made in a way that it would actually last. And of course, that's the Chinese. I mean, the Italians didn't have the intention to make something that, you know, Costco would sell and then have to. I got a full return on it. I brought it back and got my money back and got a simpler one, right? Because it was like this, you don't want to buy something that expensive as a coffee maker and have it fail after a couple months.
No, of course not.
And it wasn't just me. They were giving returns to everybody who bought those things, you know, back then.
I'm curious. You seem to be a coffee connoisseur of sorts. What coffee maker would you recommend, Jeff?
Well, I don't, you know, because of the made in China thing, look, if you want to really get a good coffee maker, you look at one of the ones that have fewer plastic parts, are metal, and, you know, they cost hundreds of dollars. I can't afford one of those.
Right.
It's too expensive for me, but I have a friend who has one, and they last, I think his lasted 3 years, 3-4 years. He got a new one, but he's really fanatical about coffee, and I love being at his house because the coffee was just amazing. But if you want to pay for that, you know, you can go online and find the really, you know, you get what you pay for. But for me, I just buy one at the drugstore, you know, a little craft coffee maker. And, just drink it quickly before the flavonoids evaporate.
You know? I was hoping you may have some inside information about where to go. I like good coffee myself. That's why I asked. Okay. We talked first hour, second hour, about the demise of the American public education system, which also includes much private education as well, doesn't it, Jeff?
Well, yeah, private, because of regulation, private education, depending on the state, is subject to laws that make them have to follow some of the same rules, but also because they want credentialed people, the private education system is hiring people out of the same basic pool of, you know, people who are trained as teachers. So that's a problem too.
Absolutely. Well, I think that people might find refuge in homeschooling, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people are doing. And of course, that's a way of educating yourself, because if you have to teach somebody something, you have to learn it yourself for real. And I think a lot of homeschoolers are successful, and their kids are. I mean, look, you can't do worse than the public school, in my opinion, if you're earnest and you're trying, because the public school system really leaves the children semi-literate. They will graduate you on an F+, you know, grade point average. Which is ridiculous. I mean, they're graduating illiterates or semi-literates.
And of course, I've seen it firsthand. Right.
Yeah, knowing how to read is not the same thing as really reading fluently and being able to take advantage of reading, being truly literate, and being able to write a literate, you know, being able to write a letter or to describe something in your own hand. They've even gotten rid of, you know, teaching children cursive in terms of writing.
Well, and that's a tragedy, because if you can't write cursive, you can't read it either, can you?
That's right. And of course, your signature is supposed to be in cursive. You know, you're not supposed to print your name. You're supposed to sign your name. That means signing it in cursive.
Exactly.
And of course, this is something, I mean, when I was in grade school, that was a big thing they concentrated on, was teaching you to write cursive.
Of course.
And of course, now with computers and everything, everything's printed. But this loss of this ability... look, every time you lose a skill, and a skill that's connecting your hands to your brain, you're losing part of your culture.
By design.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, because you are integrating with your language. You're learning dimension, another dimension of your language. English is not just a spoken language, it's a written language. And how that language is preserved and maintained as the same language is through the teaching of it and the teaching of writing. That we follow certain rules, that we have a certain dictionary. But if people are allowed to develop their own dialects and they're not literate anymore, you're going to have drift. You know, that's how Latin became French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, you know, and how German became, you know, Norwegian, German, Danish, Swedish, etc. Because languages will drift away from their core language, and you'll have all these different actual dialects will become different languages.
Yep. When the Roman Empire broke up, that's what happened to all those countries around the Mediterranean. Jeff, we got a caller here. We got Carl in Montana. Good morning, Carl.
Yeah, good morning. Jeff, did you see by chance Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s interview on Howie Mandel?
I'm not sure. I saw a couple of his interviews, but I'm not sure I remember who they were with. Why do you ask?
Curious. Well, I'm asking because he was actually, it's the first time I've heard of someone that's kind of an insider lay out his perception of how this war in Ukraine started. I mean, and he goes back way before Clinton.
I've heard him describe that. Look, I don't know why you say he's an insider. What makes you say he's not considered to be an insider? He's an environmental lawyer. He hasn't been in government before.
Correct, but his family has been within politics since, you know, forever practically in the last 70 years. But so
I've heard what
he's saying is that the United States is the one that has engineered this war.
Yeah, that's a very distorted view, and he has. Look, if you go through the footnotes of his book, you'll find that he's referencing things that are written basically by communists, that he has friends who are on the far, far left and that have this very negative view of the U.S. And so he has an extremely distorted view of he despises the military-industrial complex, which is really, I mean, the idea that the military-industrial complex is evil, we can't defend ourselves without defense companies. And the actual problems, the things that are wrong with the Pentagon, the things that are wrong with the FBI, CIA, have nothing to do with the evils of imperialism and exploitive capitalism, which is what Robert Kennedy is focused on. It has to do with the infiltration of cultural Marxism. That's what's really wrong. And, of course, we've always – look, people try to selfishly break the rules and take advantage in every system. And our system has checks and balances which are supposed to work. But what we've done is we've gone the other way. We've torn our own military-industrial system down. We've broken it down. And Kennedy is one of the people that's broken it down. You know, he has supported communist organizations and communist front organizations and hampering our military development. This is just a fact. We had I think it was the Navy, had a range in Puerto Rico. He was big on moving to shut it down, which was for live fire exercises. And of course, it was just, you know, the people in Russia and China, they want those things shut down. They don't want us to be able to train or have live fire exercises. So you have to be very careful about Robert Kennedy. You know, I think he's a sincere person. But I think he's a sincere person, but he's terribly misinformed, and he's got a lot of far left-wing views when it comes. I think his views are distorted by that leftism.
I just don't see how that you can say that this military-industrial complex, that profit isn't the main goal for these people, and that is actually what has motivated this country to take on war after war after war. I mean,
no, that's not
$500 for a toilet seat. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's
hold on. We'll wrap this discussion up after the break. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They got to be tired, the Rebs. They got to be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We got limited time here, Jeff, to address Kyle's comments.
Yeah, there's, Kyle, look, in the late 1970s, we were falling behind the Soviet Union because of all this animus against the CIA and the military-industrial complex. We almost got nuked off the map in 1983. Reagan brought back new building of things. You can't build anything in business without offering profit-making. Nobody will do it. How about, Kyle, if I told you, you got to build a house for me, but you can't make any money doing it. You have to do it for free. I mean, that will never work. Every industry has to make profit.
That's not even close to what I'm saying, though, Jeff.
Well, you were saying that profit causes – you were making a bigger leap. You were saying that profit causes wars, and that's absolutely not true, because there is no war that's caused by the manufacturers of weapons. Manufacturers of weapons do not determine military or diplomatic policy. They don't. They're determined and they're occurred by cleavages that exist historically between countries and issues and crises that have nothing to do with them. They're going to make weapons depending on the nature of the existing power structures. And by the way, when the Soviet Union collapsed, all those military industrial people went out of business. There was a massive downscaling. Look at our whole nuclear industry, nuclear weapons industry went away. If those people were so powerful as you think that they could create conflicts out of thin air, you're completely mistaken. The industries, whole industries have disappeared. Look at how many defense corporations have disappeared since the end of the Cold War. So they don't determine their own existence. And the problem is when people believe this nonsense about the Russians turning over a new leaf, we put ourselves in a position of extreme weakness. We may not be able to survive the power struggle that's ahead of us with Russia and China rearmed and retooled up and ourselves not. We haven't made a nuclear weapon in this country since 1992. We haven't even tested one since then. So I just want you to think about that.
Yeah. Okay, I had one last thing if I got time. What do you think about New York and California allowing illegals to work? They're lowering the standards to allow the illegals to actually work for the city and the state police officers. Do you see this as the back door to being able to let them vote?
Well, I think they're already letting them vote because there's no proper way to challenge it. I mean, they can register anybody they want. I think they do. And as far as letting them work, look, it's against, I was an employer in California for quite a few years, and I would get in terrible trouble if I allowed an illegal alien to work. I had to show papers on every employee that they were either a citizen or they had a green card in order for me to get them on my payroll. So I don't know
In California, but the governor is saying he's going to open up so they can become police officers.
Yeah, well, that's insane. Because
gentlemen, we're out of time. We're out of time. Kyle, thank you.
That's just insane.
Jeff, thank you, sir. We'll have you back next Wednesday. We appreciate it. All right, that's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, essential oils. Now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever get your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, beautiful state of Missouri. I get to live in the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.